Light, as used in scriptures, always stands for awareness, whether or not physical light is actually seen. Awareness is a common religious heritage, even a cosmic heritage, if we accept the existence of mind at the quantum and virtual level. I'm proposing that no one is alive who hasn't taken just such a journey. None of us could even be here without having roots where light is born, in the quantum domain. To understand this fully, however, we have to modify our picture of the world from a reality sandwich with three layers into something more dynamic, a flowchart. Material, quantum, virtual. Reality is constantly flowing from the virtual level to the quantum to the material. In mystical terms, this is the river of life, because everything begins in the mind of God before it appears on the surface as an event or object. But the river is more than a metaphor. With every thought, memory, and desire, we take a journey upriver from our invisible source to our material destination. Brain cells are not constant. Electrical impulses surge everywhere, shifting as we think new thoughts. Our brains are like a telephone system with 1,000 calls taking place every second. The cable lines of our nervous system are unstable, constantly changing their molecules with every moment of experience, both inner and outer. The wires are not made of copper, but of fluid fats, water, electrolytes, and the electrical charges running through them. Having a single thought is more complex than sorting out one message from all the telephone calls in the world. Amid these chaotic swirls of chemicals and electrons, no one has ever found a memory. Even though we can identify the memory centers of the brain, no one has ever proved that memory is stored there. We assume it is, but how? To store a memory in a neuron is like storing a memory in water. In fact, your blood is actually more solid than your cerebrum. A neuron is a poor receptacle for memory because its molecules are not solid. They are patterns of invisible energy grouped into the appearance of particles. These energy packets survive only on the quantum level. Go deeper still into the virtual level, and the patterns dissolve. The energy vanishes into ghostly vibrations and then into nothing. Can memory be stored in nothing? The answer is yes. No one doubts that the brain uses energy, but as atoms of food are mined for their energy, and this gets converted into thought, none of it is channeled into memory. It doesn't take food to store the image of where you were 10 years ago on your birthday. Nor does it seem to take energy to remember these things. Our popular belief is that the brain functions like a computer built from organic matter. It is my belief that the brain is the endpoint of impulses that begin on the virtual level, flow through the quantum level, and wind up as flashes of electricity along the trunks and branches of our neurons. Whenever you remember anything, you move from world to world, maintaining the illusion that you're still here among familiar sights and sounds. Without understanding this journey, there is not much hope of undertaking the spiritual journey back to God, because both routes are the same. The brain and the mind are different. You ask me my name, and I give it to you with a flash of activity in my cerebral cortex, but it takes no brain activity for me to know my name. At the store, I choose whether to buy vanilla or chocolate ice cream. My brain is working, but the chooser, the person who decides between A or B, is nowhere to be found in the brain. You and I are looking at a Picasso painting. I say I like it, you say you don't. It takes brain activity for us to express our opinions, but the difference in taste isn't an activity. Pioneering Canadian researcher Wilder Penfield asked an obvious question. Where in the brain can you find creativity, knowing, or spirit? The brain cannot create the qualities that make us most human. Penfield noted that the brain retains memory even while dormant. About 1% of surgical patients could recall what transpired under deep anesthesia. The fact that the mind can survive brain trauma and function under anesthesia points very strongly to the separate existence of the mind. Penfield concluded that the mind must be a kind of invisible energy field that includes the brain. I believe we should say information field because the brain clearly processes information that is flowing and related to all that exists. As soon as one uses the term field, a step has been taken into the realm of quantum reality. The magnetic field of the Earth exerts a pull over every iron particle, yet nothing tangible is doing the moving. In the same way, the mind causes the brain to move this way or that. Think of the word aardvark, then think of the word Rangoon. The first word contains its own sound and meaning, paralleled in the brain by a specific pattern of waves. The second word is also defined by its unique patterns. To go from one word to the other requires a radical shift involving millions of neurons. In between is only an empty gap. Eccles made the famous statement that God is in the gap. What he meant was that the empty spaces of the brain, the tiny synapses between two nerve endings, must be the home of higher mind. Our minds are a vital tool in the search for God. The mind interprets the world for us, gives it meaning. The brain is recording a sunset, but only the mind can experience it. As we search for God, we want our interpretations to rise even higher than our minds can take us. God requires the most delicate response of the mind. If the mind is troubled or unrefined, the journey back to God cannot be successfully made. After hooking subjects up to EEGs, researcher Valerie Hunt determined that brainwave patterns can be associated with higher spiritual experiences. Dr. Hunt was further interested in why people do not have spiritual experiences. Why do we block spirit out? If you measure the brain activity of someone who is willing to have a spiritual experience, who isn't stuck or blocked, the patterns are very different from someone who is blocked. What is common to any spiritual breakthrough is that strong opposition is never far away. For example, neurotic defenses such as "I am unworthy" are triggered. Anxiety that an evil force is at work arises. These may be expressed as fear of insanity. The self vainly tries to hold together along its old patterns, fearing change as a form of death. All in all, the mind's journey back to God can have serious repercussions just in terms of the brain adapting to a new mode of perception.